Today's shiur is Azchus for Fu Shleima for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shiur is Masechet Nedarim Daf Gimel. We will begin on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, three lines from the top. Vibayseima. In our previous shiur, we had a discussion about what halachas the Mishnah taught us and the order in which they were taught. And the Gemara had established that even though the words Yodas Nedarim Kenedarim, that Yodas Nedarim are not mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah. The halacha is that Yodas Nedarim Kenedarim, Chsuri Mechsur Achitani, they're missing from the Mishnah. And therefore, the way the Mishnah should read is that Knuya Nedarim Kenedarim, as the Mishnah does say, that Kinu Nedarim are considered a way of expressing a neder. Yodas Nedarim Kenedarim, Yodas Nedarim is a way of expressing a neder. And then the Mishnah goes on to explain the halacha of Yodas Nedarim. And the Gemara asked if the halacha of Kinui Nedarim was mentioned first, so shouldn't have the Mishnah also explained the halacha of Kinui Nedarim first? And the Gemara brought different sources where sometimes the Mishnah explains the first halacha first, the first halacha mentioned first, and sometimes Mishnah explains the second halacha mentioned first, thereby saying that our Mishnah is a case where the second halacha is explained first. The halacha of Yodas Nedarim was explained before the halacha of Kinui Nedarim. The Nana Gemara gives another explanation on how to understand the order of our Mishnah. Vibay say mi yodas to asi midrasha, the halacha that yodas are effective is not something that is explicitly stated in the Torah. And as the Ran explains, that kinuyim are effective, given that we primarily explained in the previous shiur, and we're going to speak about it more in this shiur, is obvious. But yodas is not obvious. And that's why, since it's something that we learned through a drasha, something that's learned through a drasha has a special chavivus, there's a special affinity by the Tana to such halacha. And that's why the Mishnah mentioned yodas first. And as the Rana and the Rosh both point out, what the Gemara does not mean to say is that while we said just now that there is no specific order, if the first halacha is explained first or the second halacha is explained first, that remains true. But what our Mishnah had a specific reason why to explain the halacha of yodas first, because there's something that we learned from a drasha. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, that yodas are so favored because yodas are learned through a drasha, so ask the Gemara, lift the chadein bereisha. So shouldn't that have been the first halacha that should have been taught in the Mishnah? That first halacha that should have been taught in the Mishnah is Yodas Nedarim Kenedarim. Answers the Gemara, Miftach Pasuk B'Kenayim D'Raisa B'Reisha. First, the Mishnah begins with halacha, which is effective midaraisa. And the Rishonim point out that doesn't mean, so what does that mean? Does that mean that Yodas are not effective midaraisa? Or does that mean that Yodas are effective midaraisa, but they're not explicit in the raisa, and there would be a very big nafkamina? What would be the nafkamina? Nafkamina would be, are yodas effective midaraisa, or are only yodas effective midrabbanan? So the pashup shot in the Gemara is the first kinuyim I mentioned, because kinuyim are effective midaraisa. The hada mefarish yodas to asla midrash, that we only learn from a drasha. And as I said, you could learn the Gemara either way. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara. We quoted in our previous shiur the machloikus of Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish. What do kinuyim mean? Rabbi Yochanan said kinuyim are lashon umos, the language of the nations, not lashon kodesh. The Shlokish says that kinuyim means lashon shabodalam chachamim, languages that the chachamim established are effective way of expressing a neder. So ask the Gemara, Hanicha Laman Domer, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who explained that what Kinuyim means, Loshin Nochem Him. Now we can understand why they're clearly effective midiraisa. Because a language, it doesn't make a difference what language I said, as long as I make my intention clear. Eleman dam aloshin shabad alam chachamim, according to Reish Lakish, that kinuim are effective because it's a language the Chazal established, liyash noidaboy, that it should be an effective means of an expressing another, Michael Maimer. Why were kinuim mentioned before yodos? Yodos is more of a reason that yodos should be more effective in expressing another than kinuyim. Because yodos are not some new language, that new words that Chazal are established. And the question of the way, there's a number of ways of understanding this question. Some say that it could well be that according to Reish Lakish, that the definition of kinuyim is loshim shabar olam chachamim, it could be that it's only midrabanan. Because since the entire wording is only a word that makes sense midrabanan, so then the neder would only be a letter midrabanan. And therefore, what the Gemara just suggested, that we mention kinuyim before yodos, because we want to mention something which is effective midraisa, before we mention something which is only effective midrabanan, would fall away. That's the way the Rashi, we call him the Mefarish, explains the Gemara. The Ran says that, of course, even Reish Lakish agrees that yodos nadarim are effective midraisa. But says the Ran, what the Gemara means to say, that kinuyim are effective midraisa and yodos are effective midraisa. But there's no reason to assume that kinuyim should be more effective than yodos. So this teretz that the Gemara just wanted to say, that kinuyim are mentioned first because it's more obvious that they're more effective, falls away according to Reish Lakish's understanding of what kinuyim are. Answers the Gemara, Mik Tani Yodos. But as we go back to, again, something we mentioned in our previous year, the Mishnah didn't mention Yodos explicitly at all. We had to say that the way to understand our Mishnah was Chsuri Mechsra, that the Mishnah is missing the words, even though they ought to be them. Agdam Nami Tani Yodos. And even though, as we explained in the previous year, the Tana, the Rishonim explained that we didn't want that the first words of our Mishnah should be words that are not mentioned explicitly. But now the Gemara has no choice because of the way to understand our Mishnah and to say, Kol Yodos Nadarim Kinadarim, that all Yodos Nadarim have a din of like the Darim. Kol, that's the first halacha that's mentioned in our Mishnah. And the reason why that's the first halacha that's mentioned in our Mishnah is because that is, according to Reish Lakish, the more obvious din. Then the next thing that's mentioned in the Mishnah is called Kinuyim Nedarim Kinedarim. And then the Mishnah explains the first halacha. First, Veilan Yodos, what is the definition of Yodos? Kol Aim L'Chaveroi, anybody who, the examples that the Mishnah gave. And then the Mishnah will go on to explain Veilan Kinuyim and what are the examples of Kinuyim. The halacha is that there's a very interesting Ran here. The Ran makes the point that the Gemara is teaching us that there is no specific order that we have to follow. The Tana chooses which halacha to teach first. Why? So the Ran quotes that the Pasuk says, "V'tifchar loshen arumim," a Pasuk in Iyov. And the Pasuk in Iyov teaches us that you should explain yourself, you should express yourself in the way that is most effective to get your message across. And I think, and the Ran perhaps is referring to the Gemara Masechet Pesachim, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, Tana Debei Rishmol, Lo'olam Yisapa Odom B'Loshen Nekiyah, person should always speak in a Loshen Nekiyah. And Loshen Nekiyah doesn't only mean, of course, using appropriate words. Loshen Nekiyah means that it should be in a way that a person should understand what he's saying. In fact, the Rambam in the Agdoma to the Pirish Mishnayis says, in describing Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the author of the Mishnayis, writes, Hayitzach Loshen, he had a wonderful power with words, or Muflug Mikol Adam Beloshen Kodesh, and he was able to express himself very well in Loshen Kodesh, says the Cheshuki Chemed. So now we have two candidates for a Rabbonis, two candidates to be a Rebbe in a classroom. Suggests the Cheshuki Chemed, if we're learning now the importance of clarity in expressing oneself, which is of course a very important theme in this Masechta, it makes a lot of sense that if one of the Magidei Shurim is an individual who has a much better way of expressing himself, even though he may not be the same level of a Talmud Chacham, he maybe should be the person chosen for that position. Ask the Gemara, but we have been learning that there's a drasha that teaches us that yodas are effective. Ask the Gemara, v'yodas hechik siva, what is that drasha? Answers the Gemara, the pasuk says, ish kiafli lindo neder nozir la'al Hashem, v'tanya nozir la'hazir. The Torah used the word nozir la'hazir to teach us, lasoi, what the Torah tried to teach us is, lasa kina naziris kin naziris. To teach us that a kina naziris is effective, and also to teach us that yodas naziris kin naziris, even if you didn't say it clearly, very important explanation in the word yad. Yad is a handle. The handle of a keli is called a yad, and when you want to pick up the keli, you pick up the vessel by picking up its handle. Here too, by expressing yourself with a yad, that shows that you're meaning to express yourself that you should be a nazir or make a neder. But this psukim, continues the Gemara, the Brice to say, a psukim by a nazir. Only ela b'nazir. So we only know this halacha applies by a nazir. B'nadar minayim, how do we know that by another as well, yad is an effective way of expressing oneself? Says the Gemara, Tam Eloimer, ish kiafli linda nader nazir l'azir Hashem. From here we see makish naziris l'darim, nadarim naziris. The Torah connects these two halachas. The halacha of neder and the halacha of naziris. And therefore, just like by naziris, it's a effective, so too will be the halacha by nadarim. And Ritva takes this a step further, that once we've established that yodas are effective by nadarim and by naziris, we also learn that they're effective by shvuas and charamim. And the Ritva explains why. He explains, going back to a concept that we discussed in a previous shiur. The Ritva says that a shvua, the Gemara says, is an issa gavra, and a neder is an issa cheftza. Says the Ritva, a cherim is also an issa cheftza. And since cherim is an issa cheftza, if by neder yodas are effective, so too will be the halacha by charamim. And he says naziris is a segavra. And if yodas are effective by naziris, which is in a segavra, they will also be effective by shvuas, which are in iser gavra. And that's how we'll know all the same. The Ra'an takes a different approach. He says, once the Gemara established that yodas are effective by nedarim, the pasuk says, ki yida neder o yishav shvua, where the Torah connects nedarim and shvuas. So if the halacha is that yodas nedarim are effective, so too will be the halacha that yodas shvua are effective. So again, says the Gemara, man naziris, also by yodas naziris ki naziris, just like we see that the Torah teaches us that yodas naziris are affected by naziris, af nedarim also by yodas nedarim ki nedarim. Furthermore, continues the Braisa, which will all be elaborated on, man nedarim over b'bal yachol, if somebody violates his neder, he's over the lav of l'yachol devaroi, and if somebody makes a neder and he doesn't pay the pledge within the Shalosh Regalim, the halach is he's over about ta'achar. As the pasuk says, Kesida neder l'Hashem elokecha l'isa'achar l'shalmai, ap naziris, so too by naziris, and as I said, the Gemara will explain this, over b'al yachal and b'al ta'achar. Man adorim, hav meifed nidre bitai, as we explained in our previous year, one of the reasons we explained why Masechta Nedarim comes after Masechta Ksubas is because in Masechta Ksubas we learned that the father has a right to be made for the Nedarim that his daughter made. So too, habal meifel nidrei ishtai. That's in the halach is that a husband can be made from the darm of his wife. By naziris, it's the same. Af naziris, av meifel naziris pitai, or baal meifel naziris ishtai. Ask the Gemara. Maishna, the Gemara just said that how do we know that yadus nadarim are effective? Because we learn it from naziris. And how do we learn it by naziris? Maishna gab naziris. How did we learn that yadus naziris are affected by naziris? Because the pasuk says nazir lahazir. Ask the Gemara, but nadarim nami. So the Torah uses similar wording by neder. Haksiv, doesn't the Torah use the words linda neder? So ask the Gemara, why do we have to learn that Yodis Nadarim are effective? Because I connect Nadarim to Naziris. I could have learned it from the words that the Torah uses by the Nether itself, where the Torah uses the words Linda Nether, and I'll say that that's what the Torah means to teach us, that Yodis Nadarim are effective. And ask the Gemara, therefore, Hakesh Shalomali. Answers the Gemara, Iksiv, Ikasiv, if the Torah would have used the words neder lindar, kedikasev, which would be similar to the wording that the Torah used by nazir, where the Torah says nazir lahazir, kedikamrit. It would be a great question, and the question would be great that why do I need to learn it from naziris? I could have learned it from itself. And we loit tzarech akesha, there would be no need for akesha. But says the Gemara, that's not the way the Torah expressed itself by neder. Hashtag Ksiv, when the Torah expressed Hilchas Nadarim, the wording the Torah used was Linda Neder. And the way that Rishonim explained this Gemara is that Linda Neder is the way the Torah should express itself. Linda says what you did, and Neder says what is the result of what you have done. Linda, you made a Neder, and the result is that you have a Neder. But now that, and it wouldn't be there to teach us halacha. The question is, why is there a double word, linda neder? Says the Gemara, dibritari kolashim ne'adam, because that's the way people express themselves. So what the Gemara is saying is that nazir lahazir is not the way the Torah normally expresses itself. And since it's not the way the Torah normally expresses itself, it's obvious that it's there to teach us the halacha of yadus naziris. But on the other hand, Lindar Neder is the normal way that the Torah expresses itself. And since it's the normal way that the Torah expresses itself, we can't say it's here to teach us a new halacha of Yadus Nadarim. Only if the Torah would have said Neder Lindar, like it says Nazir Lahazir, would we be able to learn the halacha of Yadus Nadarim. Why did the Torah have to use two words, Lindar Neder? As we know, the fundamental principle of Kala Torah Kula is that every word of the Torah is precious and is not mentioned without a reason. Says the Gemara, this Tana holds that the Torah expresses itself, Dibre Torah Kolashim Ne'adam, the Torah expresses itself the way people normally express themselves. Ask the Gemara, Hanich Lamandamer, this entire explanation is understandable according to the opinion that holds Dibre Torah Kolashim Ne'adam. El Laman the Lesley, Dibre Kari Kolashim Ne'adam. We don't just say that the Torah uses extra words because that's the normal way people speak. So now we have a question. Hi Linda Neder. Even though it's expressed in the normal way that the Torah expresses itself, but why does it need to have this double wording of Linda Neder? And as the Ran says, that shouldn't that be a proof that Yadus Nadarim? And since it's a proof that it's a Yadus Nadarim, then why do I need a Hey Kesha? Says the Gemara, indeed, he's going to use it, Darish Leilas Yadus Nadarim Kine Nadarim. Or Makish Naziris Nadarim. And now, indeed, this Tan is going to say that how do we know Yadus Nadarim Kine Nadarim from the words Linda Neder? And how will we know that Yadus Naziris are effective? Because as the Torah connects the halachas of Naziris to the halachas of Nadarim, if they're affected by Nadarim, they're affected by Naziris. But now we have a question. So what will we use the words of Nazir Lahazir, which are certainly not expressed and written in the way the words of the Torah are normally written? They're certainly there for a drasha. What drasha will I learn from that? Nazir Lahazir, Darshle Melamcha Naziris Chalal Naziris. That if somebody said, Hareni Nazar Hayoim. And then he repeated himself, Hareni Nazar Hayoim. We know, as we're going to learn, that Stam Naziris is Shloshim Yoim. The average Naziris is 30 days. So when this person said Hareni Nazar Hayoim, and then he repeated himself, and he said Hareni Nazar Hayoim, doesn't mean that he only accepted upon himself one Naziris, and one term of 30 days will be enough. He's going to have to keep two terms of 60 days. And as the Tosfos Yeshanim explains, if not for this special lima that the Torah says, I would have maybe said that what the person was just repeating himself, but he only meant to accept upon himself one Naziris. The Torah, by using these words, comes to teach us that he accepted upon himself two terms. Ask the Gemara, Lamanda Omer, Dibre Torah Kolosh Mnei Adam, that when the Torah used the words Linda Nether, that is the normal way the Torah expresses itself. And since that's the normal way the Torah expresses itself, those words are not available to teach us any drasha. And therefore, Nazir Lahazir, the Pasuk of Nazir Lahazir, is going to come to teach us the halacha of Lasis Yadus Naziris K'Naziris. So now this new halacha that we just learned, the halacha of Naziris Chal al Naziris Menolei, from where will we learn this halacha? So continues the Gemara. Hanicha Yisvirlei, if you hold that command of Ein Naziris Chal al Naziris, then we don't need a pasuk. So we'll say the pasuk by Naziris is coming to teach us the halacha of Yodis Naziris. We'll know the halacha by Nedarim from Naziris. And the halacha indeed will be the Ein Naziris Chal al Naziris. Eli Yisvirlei, if he holds command of Naziris Chal al Naziris, so we can't learn it from the pasuk of Nazir Lahazir, because that pasuk we needed for Yodis Naziris. So Menolei, from where will he learn the halacha of Naziris, Chal al Naziris? Answers the Gemara, that if the entire point of the pasuk was to teach us the halacha of Yodis, name a kra, it would be adequate for the Torah to say the word Lizar. Why did the Torah use the word Lahazir? Shamet mina, that we can learn from this pasuk two halachas. Tarti. We can learn from this pasuk two halachas. One, by adding the word lahazir, we learn the word the halacha of yodis naziris k'naziris, and by the Torah using that its normal expression, we're going to learn the halacha of naziris chal and naziris. But Maravi Amri, but now the Gemara gives a whole different approach how this man the Om is going to learn naziris chal and naziris, because as the Ran explains, this Tana b'Marava holds that you can't learn from the words from Nazir Lahazir two distinct halachas. You can only learn one halacha, and that's going to be the halacha of Yodis Naziris K'Naziris. If that's the case, if he also holds that Naziris Chal al Naziris, the question is, from where do I know that halacha? Is Tana d'Mapik Leila Yodis, he learns the halacha of Yodis Meninda Neder. And even though and he doesn't hold of Dibre Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam, and that's why he'll say that Linda Neder is available to teach us the halacha of Yodis Nedarim. We'll learn the Ziris from Nedarim, and we'll learn that, and the Pasuk by Nazir will be available to teach us the halacha of Naziris Chal al Naziris. This Tana, but there's another Tana that disagrees, and he holds the Mapik LeMikala Yotz V'Piv Yasa, that the Torah, when it expresses the halacha of Naziris, the Torah of Nedarim says, "Kol ayotz mepiv yasa," whatever you say, you have to keep. That pasuk is going to teach us that Yodis Nedarim are considered a valid way of making a neder. He's going to learn it from Kol ayotz mepiv yasa. If that's going to be the case, we'll know Yodis Nedarim from Kol ayotz mepiv yasa. Not neder lindar we won't use, because that dibur Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam, and Nazir Lahazir is going to be available to teach us the halacha of Naziris K'Naziris. I, the man, the Omer, that did learn all these halachas without needing the Pasuk Kol Yotzim Epiv Yatsa. So what's he going to do with the Pasuk Kol Yotzim Epiv Yatsa? That he'll learn it to teach us the Neder Shehotu Mekzasa Hotu Kula, that if part of the nether becomes nullified, it nullifies the entirety of the nether. I, where will this man d'amar that's using kol ha'yotz mipiv yase to teach us yodos nedarim learn the halacha of neder shehuta miktsasai huta kulay? So the Rishonim explain he will learn both halachas. He'll learn both the halacha of yodos nedarim k'nedarim and the halacha of neder shehuta miktsasai huta kulay from the pasuk of kol ha'yotz mipiv yase, which of course opens up a question. Because we know that b'chol ha'Torah kula, we can't learn two halachas from one pasuk. And here, we're learning both halachas from one pasuk. Both halacha of yodos nedarim k'nedarim and neder shehuta miktsasai huta kula from the pasuk b'chol ha'yotz mipiv yase. Explain the Rishonim. When is there a rule that we can't learn two distinct halachas from one pasuk? When those halachas are not the definition, not the taich, not the words of the pasuk. They're only there from extra words or from a diuk. So there, you could only use one word, one pasuk for one law. But when it's not that way, rather, when we're saying that's what the words of the pasuk mean, if the words of the pasuk mean more than one halacha, then you can learn all those halachas. Because all I'm doing is just taking the simple meaning of the pasuk and telling us what the pasuk says. And that's why here this Tana will hold that in the simple reading of the words of Kol Ayotz Mepiv Yasa are included that the halacha is Yodos Nedarim K'Nedarim and the halacha of Neder Shehuta Miktsasai Huta Kulay. The Sfas has a beautiful explanation in the pasuk of Leyachal Dvaroi K'Kol Ayotz Mepiv Yasa. He explains, as we discussed in our previous year, that the power of speech is very strong. It goes back to what the pasuk says in Parashas Bereishis, "Vayipak be'apov nishmas chayim." And what the Torah is teaching us is that a person with the words of Torah that he speaks, with a person who says Shema twice a day, Krishma twice a day, with the person who expresses brachas and tefillas, all of those words are very powerful. But when, says the pasuk, does the person from Klal Yisrael have that incredible power with the words that he expresses? That's only if he's an individual who's lo yachal dvarei, who's careful with the words that he says. An individual, says the Sfas Emes, who is the individual who's lo yachal dvaroi, he doesn't profane the speech that exits his mouth, he has the power, the kol ha'yotz mipiv yasa, that whatever he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fulfill. Says the Gemara. Amamar, we quoted earlier in the Shir, the Braisa, where the Braisa was connecting the halachas of Nedarim and Naziris to learn the man Nedarim over Bal Yachal. If somebody violated his nether, he's over the lava bal yachal, and he's over if he doesn't fulfill it in the proper time frame, the lava bal ta'achar. So too, so the Gemara will be by Naziris. So the Gemara analyzes this. We could understand what it means that somebody violated his nether. Somebody made a nether that he's going to eat a certain loaf of bread, and then he doesn't eat it. So it's considered that he violated his nether. Oiva mishim b'yachad v'ari. Ela, b'yachad and naziris, asked the Gemara, we just said that the Braisa taught us that just like this b'yachad by nedarim, there's b'yachad by naziris. Ask the Gemara, what is the example, what is the case of b'yachad and naziris, heichem mishkachslo? What is the example that one violated b'yachad by naziris? Because the Gemara points out, the moment the person said, Hareni Nazir, the moment he expressed that I'm going to be a Nazir, Havelei Nazir, he's immediately a Nazir. And if after he accepted upon himself to be a Nazir, Ochel, he ate grapes or drank wine, which we know a Nazir may not eat grapes or drink wine, immediately, Kamlei Bebal Yachel, he's over the lav of Bal Yachal, where the Torah HaKadosh says, "V'navim v'lachem v'yaveshim la Yachal." Shasa, if he drinks wine, come on, Bibel Yishter. Where the Torah says, Yayim vi Secha Yazir, Chaimitz Yayim vi Chaimitz Secha La Yishter. So the Gemara is asking, he's over those lavim. Where's the Baal Yachal? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, what the Brisa meant to say is that of course, if he ate grapes, he's over Baal Yachal. Of course, if he drinks, he's over Baal Yishter. But the Brisa is teaching us, he's also over Baal Yachal. Besides that, Beis HaLevi says, why didn't the Gemara also say that if this person accepted upon himself to be a Nazir, he's over the Isser of our Kol Nafshes Meis LaYava? Says the Beis HaLevi, a very big Chiddush. He says, if a Nazir drinks wine, if a Nazir eats grapes, he's over Baal Yachal. If a Nazir becomes Tovel, Tamei, he's not over Baal Yachal. Because what is the halacha of a Nazir who becomes Tamei? The Naziris that he began gets cancelled, and he has to begin a new Naziris. So since that Naziris becomes cancelled through him becoming Tamei, it's not considered that he was Mechal the Naziris. Because he wasn't Mechal the Naziris, because he's going to do the Naziris all over again, and of course, do it properly. Continues the Gemara. What is the example of how somebody who accepted upon himself to be a Nazir could violate the law of Baal Tacha? Because again, ask the Gemara. Kivin Dama Hareini Nazir, the moment he said he's a Nazir, Havalei Nazir, he automatically becomes a Nazir. Ochel, and when he eats the grapes, Kam Lebe Baal Yachel. But where's the Baal Tacha? Answers the Gemara, Ba'aymer L'chash'eretz a Nazir. When the person said that even though he said he's going to be a Nazir, he didn't say a specific time. And since he didn't say a specific time, the Torah is teaching us that when the three regalim that you're over Baal Ta'achar with pass, that's when he's over Baal Ta'achar. But ask the Gemara, why is that? V'yamakisharetza, if he explicitly stated when he accepted upon himself the Naziris that he's only going to be a Nazir when he decides to be one, so there should be no Baal Tacher. Says, therefore, because of this, Amar Rava, Rava modifies the Gemara's Teretz. It's referring to a situation where you have an individual going to Amar that said, Le'iftim and Oilam Atche Nazir. He says, I have to be a Nazir before I leave the world. But of course, we don't know when we're going to leave the world. And therefore, the Mehi Shat the Havle Nazir. He has to accept upon himself the Naziris immediately, because as the Gemara is going to explain, we have to be concerned if he doesn't take the Naziris immediately, the halacha is maybe he will leave the world without having fulfilled his obligation. Says the Mamida Hava, where do we have a similar example? If somebody says, Ha'imel Ishtai, that you have an individual who is a Kohen, and we know the halacha is that the wife of a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. But this husband, as we've learned such examples, particularly Masechta Yevamos, doesn't have any children. And he doesn't want that his wife should have to fall to Yibam Mechalitza. So he says, Harezu Gitech, I'm giving you a get that should be effective Shah Achas Kodim Misosi, an hour before I pass away. That woman, Asur Lech B'Truma Miyad, may never eat Truma. Because since we don't know when he's going to pass away, we always have to be concerned that he's going to die that moment, and she wasn't allowed to eat truma. And even though the Gemara says in Masechta Gittin that Chav Ches Amar Aleph that we're not concerned, explains the Rishash Shem Yomus, we don't start being concerned that people are going to pass away. Says the Rishash and the Shalman and the Dorim, that's only in a case where it's in a short time period. If a person is Baruch Hashem alive, we assume that he is alive and he will remain alive. But to be concerned but to say that he'll never die, of course that's not true. People unfortunately do pass away, and that's why we have to be concerned. The Shalman Dorim says a little different. He has to fulfill his obligation by a Nazir, and he has to be concerned. And if we could do something to avoid any shaila, that's what we have to do. Amarinan. So what do we see, says the Gemara? We have to be concerned that maybe this person is going to pass away, and therefore he has to, she may not eat truma. Hakanami, since we have to be concerned that this person is going to pass away, la'al ta'av nazir, he has to keep his nazaris immediately. Damrinan, dilma hashtamayis, we need to be concerned. The Rishonim, however, Tosfos makes a very important distinction. He says, if somebody gave the get to his wife, and as we just learned, and she's an Ashes Kohen, she's Lari Truma, but because he said that the get should be effective a moment before I die, and we don't know when that's going to be, she shouldn't eat Truma. But what happens, says Tosfos, if she ate Truma? And Baruch Hashem, he didn't die, so she didn't do anything wrong. In the Naziris, it's going to be different. By Naziris, the halacha is going to be that even if Baruch Hashem, he does continue living, the halacha requires that he should become a Nazir immediately. And if he doesn't become a Nazir immediately, if he doesn't become the Naziris immediately, then he's over, as we just explained in the Gemara, he's over the lav about Ta'achar. We've been learning the halacha about Ta'achar. And the halacha about Ta'achar teaches us that if somebody donates a carbon, he has to bring it within the Shalosh Regalim. And there's a very interesting machlokes Ran and Rash. The Ran says that if a person pledges to bring a carbon within 2 years, that doesn't take away his obligation to bring the carbon before the three regalim to void the Isra Baal Tachar. The Rosh disagrees. And the Rosh says that even if one pledges to bring a carbon immediately, he's not over Baal Ta'achar. And the other way around, if he says, I'm going to wait 2 years, he's not over Baal Ta'achar. And explains Rav Naftali Trabzatzal that there's a fundamental machloikis between the Rosh and the Ran, how to understand the Halach of Baal Ta'achar and the Halach of Shalosh Regalim. According to the Ran, once a pledge takes effect, there's an Issa Baal Ta'achar to delay the pledge even for one moment. The Torah ever says that if he doesn't bring his carbon if he brings his carbon before to three regalim, he won't be over Baal Ta'achar. In other words, says Rav Naftali, according to Ran, to avoid Baal Ta'achar, he has to bring his carbon before the pledge takes effect. And the Ran holds that the pledge only takes effect by the third regal. And therefore, according to the Ran, if he wants this pledge to take effect sooner, then he'll have to fulfill the pledge immediately. The Rosh, however, says Rav Naftali Trop, holds about the Acher, is a halacha that you're not allowed to delay your pledge. He says the pledge is effective immediately. There's a new halacha that you're not allowed to delay your pledge past three regalim. Therefore, even if you pledge to bring the carbon immediately, the halacha about Ta'achar tells us that you're not over that nether until 3 years pass. Furthermore, says, what's going to be the halacha if he says to bring the carbon, he says, I'm only going to bring the carbon after 2 years? Then, says the Rosh, the nether will only be chal in 2 years, and he won't be over about Ta'achar until 3 years after those 2 years come. According to the Ran, no, you never have more than 3 years. Three Yom Tovim. That means if you say you're going to bring the carbon immediately, you have to bring it immediately. If you didn't say you're going to bring it immediately, immaterial if you said that I'm only going to bring the carbon in 2 years, you never get, Baal Ta'achar tells us you never get more than three regalim. The question is, how far do we take this concept of Baal Ta'achar? The Chofetz Chaim, because as we just explained, everybody agrees that the proper way of fulfilling an obligation about Ta'achar is not to wait for the three regalim. Given the different explanations, whether of the Ran and the Rosh, everybody agrees you should fulfill it immediately. And that's why that the Chofetz Chaim had a minig that if he had guests in his home Friday night, he would not sing Shalom Aleichem before he made Kiddush and gave them to eat. He says, Shalom Aleichem is a minig to sing. But once I invited the guest, I have an obligation to fulfill my obligation of my pledge of inviting them and feeding them. And I'm not allowed to delay it. And delaying it with the Shalom Aleichem and the Zmiris is unacceptable. The Dvar Avram disagrees. And the Dvar Avram says that when you invite a guest to your home, what's self-understood in that invitation is that you're going to have your meal the way a normal meal is conducted. And the normal way that a Friday night meal is conducted is that we say Shalom Aleichem first, and whatever Zmiris is your minute to say first. And therefore, that was self-understood in your invitation. However, say the Paiskim, that now there will be a very interesting nafkamina la'alocha. If you say Shalom Aleichem, which is of course the custom in your home, and most people say Shalom Aleichem in their home, not saying Shalom Aleichem, saying Shalom Aleichem is not considered Baal Tachar. But on the other hand, you have guests, and instead of saying the Shalom Aleichem, making the Kiddush, and giving them the meal, you start wasting time. That may be a violation of Baal Tachar, because there, it wasn't self-understood that you're just going to delay your meal. Al Gemara also just said, we have to be concerned about Shema Yomus, that maybe the person will pass away. And there's a discussion that the Maril brings up. Let's say there's an individual who we know is not well, and we will mispallel for that individual. We say Mishaberech for that individual. And we don't know if he got better, if he passed away. The Maril says that if we don't know the status of the person who we're davening for, we shouldn't say Mishaberech for him. We shouldn't be mispallel for him. The Nachla Shiva disagrees. And he says that we're not concerned, we just quoted before the Gemara in Masech Gittin, the Gemara says we're not concerned for Shema Yomus. And the Nachla Shiva, actually, in the Tshuvas Nachla Shiva, Simon Lamates discusses a situation where he was the Rav in one city, and there was a Chayla, there was a sick person who lived a distance away, and there was no way of knowing his status, and he said that he continued making a mishaberech for him. He was not concerned for what the Maril said, that we need to be concerned that the person passed away. But the Paiskim, in discussing the Shaila, say that the reason why the Nachla Shiva can be right is only in a place where the person has a cheskes chai. So he says, since people have a cheskes chai, that's why we can assume that the person is still alive. And the cheskes chai is stronger than what we learned in our Gemara, that we need to be concerned that maybe the person will pass away. I saw, similarly, a very interesting question. The question that was asked was by the Mishnah Halachos, Shas Shuvos Mishnah Halachos, Chelek Tezvav Simen Kuf Nun Daled discusses that where somebody sold his chametz to a nochri, the Rav sold the chametz to a nochri, whose son became a ger. And now the concern, explains the Mishnah Halachos, is that maybe this nochri will die in Pesach, and his son, who's Jewish, will be his yairish, and therefore that chametz will now be chametz that was owned by a Jew over Pesach, and will have a real concern of chametz shavel over Pesach. So maybe you should be careful not to sell the chametz to that nachri. So again, the Mishnah Halachos points out a number of points. He says there's a fundamental question in halacha which comes up often regarding Kiddush Levana. We know that the Shulchan Aruch says it's preferable to do Kiddush Levana on Matzoy Shabbos. And now the question is, should you do Kiddush Levana during the week when you see the moon, and know you've done it, or should you wait to Matzoy Shabbos, but maybe it's going to be cloudy on Matzoy Shabbos? And the question really is it, do we have to be worried about eventualities that are unlikely to happen? Here, the Mishnah Halachos gives another reason why we need not be concerned. He says, because even though the son is the Yairish of his father, that's only, you're only a Yairish if you want to be a Yairish.
So if this son, who's Jewish, is the Yorish of his father, who's a Nachri, but he doesn't want to take ownership of the chametz that his father left over on Pesach, then his interest in not accepting that chametz is accepted by the halacha, and therefore it doesn't become his chametz until after Pesach, and we won't have a problem of chametz shavu over Pesach. There's one more issue to discuss. Here we've spoken about Baal Ta'achar. But Baal Ta'achar has been discussed. All the Baal Ta'achar that we've been discussing has been discussed in the form of a neder, where somebody took a pledge upon themselves, they have to pay the pledge within a certain time. Somebody became a nazir, by when must he be a nazir? Does the halacha about ta'achar apply to every mitzvah? There's an interesting question where a couple set a date for the wedding, and then for whatever reason they want to delay it. Do we say that once they accept it upon themselves to get married, there's an issue about ta'achar by delaying it? Or is Baal Ta'achar limited to pledges, neder, naziris, inviting somebody, as Reb Chofetz Chaim discussed, to your home? So that's an obligation that you took upon yourself. But do we say it in other mitzvahs? Because if we would suggest that Baal Ta'achar has such a broad application, then maybe a person has no right to delay getting married. If a person has a mitzvah to get married, if you don't get married, why is that not a violation of Baal Ta'achar?